My friend Ben Jerome pinged me and said, hey dude, get on this Clubhouse thing and check it out. It's great. It's amazing. It's really led to a lot of good connections. So I decided, hop on here and on the spot, on demand, record a podcast that same day and get it produced immediately and have it up and running within 48 hours on Spotify, on Apple, on Google to share with your friends and family. So that's what this is all about. You are the star. Starring Eddie Blacknell. I'm Phil Brothers, and I'll be the host. But today, Eddie, you are the star. What's up, my friend?
I appreciate you inviting me in, Phil. How's it going?
It's going fabulous. I got a question for you. What are you excited about these days?
Oh, man. Life changes coming out of COVID, if you will. Travel, being able to commune with people. I tell you what, Phil, I didn't realize till we got into COVID how much of a face-to-face person I am, right? You always think, hey, I can handle this thing. I can do it social media. Then I realized, hey, I'm a people person. I make my connections best when I'm facing people, just as we are today. We can look at one another and read expressions, you know? So that for me, that's the great things. And then life, being able to get back to what I love, which is impacting others. How about yourself?
What I am excited about is, I guess changes, you know, like you said, with the COVID change, it's caused me to reflect deeper on, I'm an extreme extrovert, so I'd always be at all the social everythings. And then after my divorce, arguably, I went through my cray-cray time. So I was out and about. Now it's caused me just to be at peace with this kind of interaction, you know, one-on-one on a Zoom call, and being thankful for that, but then also having that balance of getting out and about. So realizing that about myself, I don't always have to be out, and that there's a great peace that's come with that for me. So I appreciate you asking that.
Yes, sir.
So we got Jump Out, and tell us what Jump Out is about and how that started for you.
Wow. Jump Out is my life. Outside of 9 to 5, it's my passion 24 hours a day. For me, Jump Out is a state of being. It's an existence. It's actually a whole character. As you see the shirt I'm wearing, I am Jump Out.
Yeah.
What Jump Out epitomizes to me is a person actually reconnecting with who we are first at a spiritual level and as at the creation basis, who we were created to be as human beings, right? We were given, it's simply said, we were given dominion over everything on the earth. So why is it that we don't walk in that light, right?
Yeah, what would that be? What gets in that way, what you'd see specifically, typically?
Yeah, oh, well, geez. It's our minds, right? The human mind, number one, wants to accept the easy, lazy thing, right? But from our very early existence as children, we're told what we can't do and don't do this. So those things begin to form habits and patterns in our mind, right? And if you tell, you know, like you've seen stories where you may see a dog raised with wolves, right? And it behaves like a wolf or a child that raised by animals. So repetition, if something gets repeated in the mind so many times, we begin to believe it and we begin to live in that lifestyle. So we are just the sum total of our experiences and what people think about us. And that's truly because we don't have a true connection with our own identity.
Now, you were talking about with the kids and jumping, and can you elaborate into that?
Oh, yes, sir. I mean, my nose has a bump on it here, which is probably from that, right? We were young. We used to jump off the dresser to the bed. And there were probably about 2.5 feet between the jump dresser, and the ceiling was about 8 foot tall. The dresser was about 3.5 feet tall. So in many cases, we would turn flips and my feet would hit the ceiling.
Oh.
So if you could imagine the landing there, sometimes I didn't make it to the bed, right? but the thing about it is, as we were talked earlier, the younger children, they're daredevils, what we call them. Right. They want to jump off of things. They want to climb up on things. They want to throw things. They want to try to do things that we said, no, you can't do that because you're going to hurt yourself. Well, it's because they haven't been indoctrinated to the I cannot do or I should not do philosophy. And so as we get older and our experiences, those who we're around, those influences that we take from our socioeconomic climates, stereotypes, we begin to emulate what people say and about us and what we see them doing. So thereby, we limit ourselves from the beginning, right? I mean, you think about it, and I'm almost done with the statement, but, you know, we'll see a great person. Hey, I want to be like ABC, this person.
Like Eddie Blackwell.
Well, that person's life is a little different from yours, right? Okay. You have characters that person can't have. So even if you walk the same path, it's going to be a little different because you are a unique individual created in your own specially designed body by God, right? So Jump Out is about teaching people to connect with who you are, to walk in your own path, and to recognize your own personal excellence for what it is.
I dig it. So that reminds me of a book. It's called Finding Your Own North Star, Finding Your North Star by Martha Beck.
And I've heard it. I haven't read it.
Oh, yes. Man, it shook me pretty good because, like you said, it's a very specific path, and what might set well with you may not set well with me, and that's okay. The tough thing, it seems as if we have a lot of times that peck or group think where, well, Eddie's doing this weird thing, and that's not what we, the group, say is normal. Right. And so, Eddie, right. why are you being so abnormal? Like, come back here. And that's because Eddie's following his North Star, right?
That's it. That's exactly it. You hit the nail on the head. You know, and in many cases, we conform and we never reach our full potential. You know, I'm in the process of writing a manuscript, a book, and one of the illustrations talks about the same thing, right? It's a brief story where these brothers walk to school. This one brother's in elementary school. And so his younger brother starts his first year in kindergarten. And so they walk this path to school. So the brother walks this path that actually goes beyond the school, around the back of the school, encircles the school one time, and then they go into school. So the younger brother, he walks with his older brother, right? So that's what he does. So the older brother graduates. The younger brother continues to walk the path, even though sometimes it causes him to be late. You know, it causes people to say, hey, why are you going that way? But he's following the pattern. But it's not too many years later when they're grown that another friend asks the older brother, hey, why did you walk that path around the school every day? And he said, you know what, man? That was this hot chick who lived behind the school.
Uh-huh.
And I wanted to walk there every day to see if I could catch her coming out because I wanted to talk to her.
It was a strategy.
I never caught her. Yeah, I never caught her, but I said I was gonna do it till I couldn't do it anymore. And so the younger brother's eyes, you know, his eyes were like, you mean tell me I walked all this path? I didn't even know the girl, right? Here it is. I followed.
She was probably done gone by the time I got there.
There you go.
So asking why, it sounds like it's an important thing. Why are we doing this? What's going on? And if it's worth it, you know, let's observe it, right?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That's it.
So you were talking about earlier about extreme ownership, and that seems to be something similar in that vein of like, let's challenge the way it's always been. Can you speak to that a little bit?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, the whole book, Jocko really laid it down, and it really makes you look at things from a different perspective too, not just to say, you know what, well, it's not my fault and I'm okay. But extreme ownership means you take ownership for every area that you are gifted the stewardship of, right? Whether it be through children, whether it be through a position at work, whether it be through an entrepreneurial interest you have, and to not just say, well, this guy didn't do his part, but ultimately to say, this is mine. I'm the reason. What did I not do to help this person, right? What did I not cross my T or dot my I? And so to really, when we take that ownership, when it comes to our own life, then we'll understand that it's my responsibility to get myself back to where I need to be. And once again, that's what Jump Out is about, because some people don't know where they need to go. They don't know how to get out of the funk, right? That we've been in so many times. You know, I think Brian Pinto mentioned people just repeat things in many cases to where they find themselves in a really bad position,
right?
And they don't know where to start, you know, or how to get out of it. So it's just that, you know, being able to take ownership. When we do that, that's when things change, when we can take our own ownership.
And changing things, especially if we're not content, we're not at peace, we're not enjoying what we do.
Oh, my goodness. Then yeah.
We don't just have to lay down and put up with it. There is a change, and it's hard, but, you know, you can do that. You mentioned Brian. You know, what's been his journey with you and kind of walking that with you?
Oh, okay. Well, shoot, Brian's been a great mentor. Actually, his book, he actually gifted me the back cover in the dedication. So I want to thank him for that. But that book is a straight hard look. I think you've read it. Hard Look in the Face. No Nonsense Knock. And it basically, as he says, it puts a 2x4 between the eyes as to, hey, the mess that you're in, you don't have to stay in, but you do have to make a change, because without you making a change, nothing changes, right? So very powerful inspiration to me. And he's been every day and just an awesome, if you will, a benefit to what I inspire to do with Jump Out and my personal learning and growth.
Yeah, so I haven't quite had the chance to read the book yet, but I'll say I experienced a taste of the essence by getting the opportunity to sit down and talk with him like this. So yeah, that sounds exactly like the vein that he was talking about is what you're saying there.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Now, we were talking about foods, and you were saying you're down with some barbecue, and we just found out, you know, that there's got to be some kind of get together or party at Brian's where he's going to have to cook for us, because he likes to get down on that open pit.
Yes, sir. He's been holding out on me on that pit. You know, I hadn't heard about the mixture of the woods and all that. We talk about everything else, but I hadn't heard about that pit. So you've gotten a little closer than he is there. But yeah, I mean, barbecue is awesome here. I don't know. You guys have great barbecue there in Texas. You know, barbecue is one of the main highlights. You know, I wouldn't call it a comfort food, but it's something you do. There's an experience to barbecue, right? It's not just eating, but it's the preparation, the sitting out, the lounging, the talking, you know, the smells, you know, having a few drinks, whatever. And then, you know, just kind of shooting the bull, you know. So it's the whole experience that I love every time I get a chance to do it. You know, not by myself. It's better when you're with friends.
It's a social thing.
Exactly. That's it. That's it.
So I was with a buddy actually this week, PJ Ashenfelter, and he was talking about he's on these groups and he's like learning about I think it was brisket. Do you put the fat up? Do you put the fat down? There's pluses and minuses and all this stuff.
Yes,
and
I'm sir. Like,
man, y'all ain't messing around. You take it serious.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
So I like to hang out with people like that. You guys are like scientists in that world. And I'll just, you know, reap the benefits and bring you beers or whatever.
And that is funny you mentioned that, because I've tried fat side up, fat side down. I've tried cooking it first 4 hours open and then in foil the next four, or in foil first 4 hours and open the next. Yeah. All about the elusive, that elusive great taste with the great bark on the outside and tender. Yeah.
And so. Also there was another one, foil versus butcher paper. Is that a thing too?
I've never tried the butcher paper.
All right. Maybe we're on something today.
Tell you what. Yeah.
So it was, that's hilarious. So, all right. And, that's a very unique, aspect that I'm not used to growing up, but I mean, I love eating it, but, we were talking about unique aspects, and what are some of the unique things that you've liked to delve into or study over the years?
Oh goodness. I've always been, non-astrologist, fascinated by the stars, right? Even now, when I'm on the road, I live in a rural part. So it gets really dark out here. When it gets night, you know, it's dark. You can go places and not see your hand in front of your eyes. Yep. And I always get that thought, now, what if a UFO came up? Would I get away?
Uh-huh.
What could I do?
Oh, you know? Running the scenarios.
Maybe I need to get somewhere where people are. So the UFO phenomena for me is huge. Actually, in my area, I don't know how true it was. Long before I moved here, they talked about some people encountered actual UFO that was on the ground and how it charred the ground and how those people ended up getting radiation, cancer. And this was supposed to be 5 minutes from where I live now. You know, so that's a story that I read. But anytime, hey, I'm flipping through my channels and I see what seems to be a good documentary that I don't think I've seen before.
Yeah.
Dude, I'm spending a little bit of time, maybe too much, according to my wife. You know? But I'm there, man. I'm there. Yeah. You know.
She's probably like, seeing you flipping. She probably sees the title. She's like, oh, no, don't. Just keep changing. Keep changing. Oh, that's it. He's going to watch
it. That's it. And then next thing you know, I hear this creaking because she's getting up off the sofa and she's going into the other room.
She's
right?
Like, hey, I'm going to go handle my own stuff. All right. What's she going to watch? What's her go-to top two or three?
Oh, my goodness. She's a reality.
Don't tell me The Bachelor. Please don't tell me The Bachelor.
She's done The Bachelor.
Okay.
But now it's like...
she graduated?
Yes. Now it's like, what is it? Love Island.
Oh, snap.
Here's one today. Are you the one? There's one she's watching today. Oh my goodness. Dude, when I get to watching these, I think of back to the old stories that my mom used to watch back in the days.
Oh yeah.
Like Young and Restless, Bold and Beautiful, all that kind of stuff. And I'm like, okay, how much time am I wasting sitting here? Right. Because I got so much that I want to do.
Right.
I'll sit there and get caught up in it. But then I'm thinking, man, I just wasted 2 hours.
I got to snap. I got to snap back out of this.
Yeah, they're back to back. You can sit and watch a whole series, you know, in one day, if you will. It's like, I got to get off.
Yeah, so I can get caught into some of that stuff, too. I don't know about Bold and the Beautiful, but I the same genre where it's like, okay, what's going to happen? And then like, dun, dun, dun.
Yes, sir.
But then I make a joke and say, like, it feels like my brain is starting to ooze out of my ear. And so I got to put it back in there and get the heck out of there. You know what I'm saying?
That's it. You know, it gets to a point where it's like, wait, man. Hey, come back. Okay. Yeah, I'm back.
So in the UFO realm, all right, tell me one of the most compelling either specific stories or concepts that this seems really intriguing, like there's something going on here, versus the most haters or the most argument against it. What's that look like in your experience?
Of course, you can just imagine how big the Roswell thing was, right?
Pretend I don't know anything, because basically I don't know much. So lay it out real quick.
Gotcha. So I think it was back in the 60s, maybe, when the Roswell craft, when it crashed over in the Area 51. I don't know if that's in Arizona, but it crashed there. And then the U.S. military came out, and there were actually some people there who said it was a craft. And there's been even one guy who at one time had some parts of the craft that had some strange hieroglyphic type writing on it, and some metals that he squeezed and compressed, and they came back out, you know, to reform themselves. And then, but there's been this huge veil of secrecy, if you will, that's hung over it. And just in, I think it was this year, there was a bill or something that went through to where they had to publicize a lot of the records that they've been keeping secret. And so now you're seeing a lot of documentaries come out, and they're talking about these records that they had under lock and key, right?
Right.
Of course, they talk about there were some alien beings even captured, or one had, was alive, the other two had passed, and being able to communicate. There's even conspiracy theories that they're aliens here now, and that the U.S. government is in conversation with communication and allowing them to do experiments on some of us in exchange for technologies and things of that nature. So for me, that's some of the biggest things. You know, you in this world, you can't really, there's so much going, right? And it's hard to trust any person, because, you know, when there's monetary gains or theories of domination, anything could come. And then once again, the Bible talks about where the world is going to go. So all this is in keeping with that. So yeah, it's just, for me, it's just interesting, you know, it just makes me want to be more prayerful. But yeah, I do follow that.
And then what's the biggest negative voice to that, as far as what you've encountered, of just, you know, the logical explanation for this is this. And so just chill out, Eddie. Like, what's that voice sound like, or what's that argument against?
Yeah. So that biggest argument has been, oh, it was just like, for instance, the Roswell, it was just the weather balloon, right? So they showed this 4-0 line weather balloon. Or all the many sightings that have happened that people have had personal encounters. Oh, no, this person's just thinking about something. This is not true. Or it was just a blip of light. It was the way that light was reflected from a satellite, you know. And it's really the whole, once again, the whole cover up. To me, I understand a little bit why, because I think, you know, you've seen a lot of the Godzilla pictures and even some earthquakes. You know, we as a people, when we hear bad news, we panic, right? So I think some of it is where there won't be mass hysteria. If they just come out and say, hey, look, we have aliens over here. We have aliens over here. They're here. Right. You know, what are people going to do? So I think that's a lot of it. But still, in all, I think that keeping the people totally ignorant is totally wrong. So for me, that's what really bugs me, that you purport lies that those who are there say they know what they saw.
Yeah.
But you're rebutting what they say with something that you can try and theoretically say happen instead of that. So,
right. Yeah, I got you. So I've heard Joe Rogan talk a little bit about, you know, alien stuff like that. But I haven't really delved into it a lot. But one thing that stands out to me is what we were talking about earlier with Dennis Rodman. And I think Men in Black, I think they pretended that he was an alien. Cause like you said that they talk about people being aliens, but, I was like, I don't know about that, but he was a scientist. Cause we were talking about angles and rebounding, right?
Yeah. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So true.
So, yeah, it's not just about, pushing people around, but you gotta keep an eye out where everything goes. And,
I agree.
And Rodman.
Yes, sir.
So maybe he had that alien intellect. That's what made him so excellent.
Hey, who knows? You know, who knows who we walk among here, right? You maybe the reason that some people are so different.
Yeah, there's some different people out there for sure.
There you go. That's it.
So when we were first talking about Jump Out on the pre-show, you made a comment that stood out to me, and you said that some realizations that you made personally helped kind of jumpstart that. Could you get specific about what that was for you?
Sure. Yeah. Yep. So when I grew up, I always knew there were things that I wanted to do and things that I wanted to be. So I patted myself after that. I've always been strong-willed not to give up. And so I went hard into my studies. And I went to school. I knew growing up that I wanted to be an architect, wanted to draw things, right? So I pursued that heavily into college, even though I got in college, didn't have much experience. My first year, I think I did a project and it didn't come out to the level that instructors thought. And so they sort of downplayed it, you know, persecuted, oh man, this is no good. You can't be an architect doing this, you know?
Oh, wow.
And so, you know, it's pretty rough, you know, as maybe a freshman student, you're hearing something like this, right? But nevertheless, I went back and I rebounded, and the very next project, then they were, you know, had accolades for what I was doing, right? But, you know, very easy. What I found is in this world, you're always going to have people, you're always going to deal with negativity, right? It's just the nature of some people. Some give it and they don't even understand why they're giving, right? Sometimes it's their own experiences. And so as I moved forward through college and then I got out, couldn't find employment in my major, right? I was set to go over, had an opportunity with CIA. Then we had the first Persian Gulf War. Cut it off. Then at one point I was going to go to Alaska, even though I didn't want to go to Alaska, but it was for a career.
That sounds cold.
Yo, second Persian Gulf War. Cut it off, right? So then even as I moved through my professional career and I ended up going back and getting my MBA in technology management, I faced some struggles and trials where even though I had achieved all these accolades, what I thought was enough, according to what was on paper, was still not enough. Mm. So even though I had what I thought on paper was enough for me to be successful, to get ahead,
right,
it still wasn't enough, right? I was still being passed over. I was still being missed out on this and that. And so it was in that struggle that I kept going that I realized that, okay, as long as I keep patterning myself based on what somebody else says or does, I'm going to be subject to what they think and to their approval.
Yeah.
Right. So then I realized I need to get my own identity. And then I understood you didn't make it this far on your own. It was through those things that you said, I'm going to do this. And they happened. Why did they happen that way? Because you put it in your mind and it became that vault. Once it was locked in the vault, everything else was just outside of that. Right.
Yeah.
So that couldn't stop what you were going to do. Right. So for me, that's what, once I got focused, then I realized I was the only one that could stop what I was trying to do, regardless of the obstacles. It may take a little longer, right? But that doesn't mean I'm not going to get there. And that's when things begin to change. And that was so powerful for me. And so that was sort of the nucleus of my discovery before I even had understood the passion behind it.
Yeah. And then what does that look like now, trying to share that with and inspire and connect with other people practically? How does that work for you with other people?
Oh, yeah. And it's for me, it's like hand-to-hand combat, if you will. I think, you know, personal excellence, which is essentially what we thrive for, right? The mission is to remove psychological strongholds and put the person in touch with who they truly are, and release an inherent desire to excel, which we all have.
Yeah.
So for me, is actually getting an individual to truly rewind, if you will, and to connect with who they are, right? Many people struggle. We've all had challenges. And, you know, this thing we got here, you know, it's like a vault. Something goes in there, we keep it. We refer back to it. When we have negative times, we refer back to those things. And many times we go back into those depressive states or whatever it is. But I think that if we get back to the core of who we are and who we were created to be, and we truly connect with that as an individual, then I think we can, all those other things, they're still there, but we can, I can say no longer, no, that's not me. That may be an experience that I had,
yeah,
but that doesn't define who I am. What defines who I am was in my nucleus, right? And I am wonderfully made. There's no other person, even though they may look exactly like me, they're not me, right?
Yeah.
So I have to embrace who I am and my importance and my value. And once you do that, and once we truly love ourselves, then we can move forward.
Yeah, that's good stuff. So you got your own fingerprints, you got your own retinas, you got your own DNA. It's unique and it's awesome in the way that it's for you. But let us all do that and give us each other space for that. And that's when true power can really come through. Yeah?
Yes, sir. That's it.
I'm digging it. So that's a great story. And it reminds me of a when you said you had a story. Well, you didn't say, I kind of pulled it out of you. But we got a story about the sidewalk. And I want you to lay that down for us.
Yeah, that was quite funny. It's quite funny. I was, my lovely wife for 30 years, I met her in college. And she came to I was in my architect studio. And one day she came in and she's with her buddy and she has a bandage on her arm and her knees and she's limping, you know. And so that's, well, hey, what happened to you? You were in an accident. And come to find out, she was actually going to a dorm room on an elevated sidewalk right before the street. And there was this little friendly dog that saw her and began walking behind her. She looks back. She starts walking a little faster. The dog starts walking a little faster. So then she takes off running, you know, and the dog takes off running. Well, she's looking back at the dog and not paying attention to where she's going.
Uh-oh.
So she runs straight off the side of the sidewalk, falls on her knees in the street, jumps up and runs in the girl's dormitory room.
Oh, man.
Right? In the dorm. Yeah. Yeah. So she goes in and she's frantic. What I didn't know at the time was that a very young child, I think she had a scary experience that put her in that position, you know. But I still tease her about that today, you know, because that, you know, she ran out. I mean, it was like Godzilla was behind.
Did you see that huge dog after me? Like the ankle? We talk about the ankle.
It was that big. It was that big, right?
You mean the oversized rat we talk about?
Yeah, but it's just amazing. Just lets her know, you know, we have fight and flight modes, and for her that was her flight mode. But you know, like I told, I said, listen, the dog probably just wanted to be loved, just follow you, and you walk faster. Hey, I'm walking a little faster too. You know, but for her, no, it wouldn't happen.
She was not having it.
No, no, sir, no, sir.
So, and then one more thing that stands out about your wife and what we were talking about with the Philly cheesesteaks. What we got going there?
Oh my goodness, yeah. So I had for my 9 to 5, I had a training in Pennsylvania, in Lincoln, Pennsylvania. And so during that time, we drove by Penn State. We went to a microbrewery there. So on the way back, there was a little small place at Greasy Spoon. I've heard all these great things about Philly cheesesteaks. So I said, you know what? I'm just going to stop here and see what they got. And Phil, I got that Philly cheesesteak. So I asked her, I said, hey, you want one?
Yeah.
She said, no, I'm good. I'll just take a bite of yours. I'm good. Okay. All right. So I got in there and I mean, nothing special. You know, the small burger joints, mom and pop type places normally are the ones that have the best flavor. For you know sure. What I'm saying?
The crappy, so, the crappier the building, the better the food.
Boom. That's it. That's it. And so I got that Philly cheese and got back in the car and she took it out of the bag. She beat me to it, right? She took it out of the bag and she took a bite and she like, and we were driving by then because that was my last day before we were scheduled to fly out.
Yep.
And she like, oh my goodness, this is so good. And so, so I said, okay, well, give it back. No, I'm going to keep this half.
No,
my mind was on eating the whole, you know, the whole 8-inch thing.
Well, yeah,
Bill, I was, you know,
that sounds traumatic.
It was, because let me tell you what happened. The only other place we could get to was one in the airport. She said, "We'll just get one in the airport."
Not even close. Not even close.
And for the last 5 or 6 years, I've been looking for a Philly cheesesteak here in the city of Houston, anywhere around.
Yeah.
I've had many people say, oh, no, mine tastes exactly like it because I use the same roll.
Yeah.
No, something in that grill, yeah, right? The seasoning or something. It is not the same. I've never been able to duplicate that.
It's almost like when you, like the Bermuda Triangle, like when you fly over Philadelphia, at some level, something activates where it's going to be better there, right?
Yes, sir. Well, maybe I would pay to get one shipped today if I could.
There we go. Well, let me know whenever that dream gets fulfilled for you.
I will. Yes, sir.
All right, Eddie. So we, as we get ready to wrap up here, I got one last question for you.
Yes, sir.
So if you had the ability to get on everybody's cell phone on the background for 1 billion people, and you could put a meaningful message out that you believe would be impactful, what would that message be?
Okay, that's an easy one. It would be, for everyone's personal, it would be MBIYTC. My best is yet to come.
Uh-huh.
My best is yet to come. No matter what's going on today, we have every potential of being better in the next minute. So they would take that and use that as their life's drive, understanding, number one, who they are, their identity, right? That nothing can stop them from being their best. And here it is. My best is different from someone else's best.
Good point.
And it's not supposed to be the same as someone else.
Yep.
But that doesn't mean my best is any less successful than their best, right?
Just different.
So if we move in our own identities and to establish our own personal excellence, we will always be accomplishing great things, right? Even if they may seem very small, it's still an accomplishment, right?
Yeah.
Reward yourself for that thing and understand your best is still yet to come. And as we get better, we will be able to impact more people with our lives, even through seeing what we do. So that would be my statement to them.
I love it. That's beautiful. So if people want to find you out there on the interwebs, how can they find you?
Yes, sir. Actually, I have a website. The website is www.jump-out.com. I'm also on Instagram at I am Jump Out is my Instagram handle. I'm also on Clubhouse. Clubhouse, my name on Clubhouse is E and then space Black, E space Black. And those are the main ways. Of course, my phone number, I'm open for people to call me, 281-507-6163. And then my email address is eb@jump-out.com.
Beautiful. So, I'm lucky enough to have your phone number. I look forward to some texts on
sir, we gotta do it.
Breaking Bad and maybe when you eat barbecue with Brian and maybe a vacation picture looking out.
Yes, sir. So, you get me excited now.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. All right. Anything else to add before we conclude?
That's about it. I want to thank you for this opportunity. This has truly been, I have a new brother. I have a new connection now.
For sure.
I've really enjoyed this, the time we've been able to spend here today. And I know it's the beginning because I love what you do. And you have no idea of the number of people that's impacted by what you do. But I have an inkling, right? And so that's when we're in this thing together to make a difference in the world. So I want to thank you for the opportunity to share my passion, because that's truly what I desire to do, is get it out to as many people as possible just to make a difference.
Awesome.
All right, I'm getting ready for my vacation, sir.
Vacation. Woo! Here we go. So tell your wifey, tell your pastor, tell your daughters too, that Eddie, you are the star, and this show is for you.